just happened by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as unplanned.
We speak a lot about freedom in these times. But depending on who you ask, it'll mean different things. Freedom of choice is one such freedom which we speak about all the time. To choose how you want to live your life, to choose what you want to do with your body. And for me as a Christian or as a follower of Jesus Christ, freedom means a little bit more than that. You see, you can lock me up. You can shut me down. You can restrict my access. You can do all of these things and more. You can even cancel me. As we know, cancel culture is the rave now, to digitally cancel someone. You can even cancel me in real life and kill me. But at the end of it all, I will still be free. You see, for most of us, freedom means to be able to do as you please, to not be restricted to a specific path or lifestyle, but that it is a very misguided and shallow sense of what it means to be free. You see, for me, freedom is not embracing every inclination or acting on everything that you decide to do or think. Freedom is understanding and accepting that God's divine intention, no matter how hard the journey is one of redemption. Some struggle with anxiety, some will struggle with alcoholism, some struggle with anger, some struggle with fear of intimacy. We've got all sorts of things in between that as well. But then we have those struggling with sexual brokenness, in whatever form it takes. You guys are loved with a love that is patient, kind, not envious, not boastful, and not proud. A love that does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. A love that does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. This is the freedom of our Father and the love of our Father for the most broken among us. This freedom costs us nothing, but you have to choose this freedom. It cannot be forced on you, like some freedoms are. Believe it or not. You see, the freedom I've experienced since asking Jesus into my life and into my heart shows me that true freedom cannot be taken from you. No matter what you have done or where you come from, Jesus loves you. I want you guys to know today that you are known. Now, we are leading up to October and we will be discussing the events that happened there a little bit later on in the show after the first weekend in October takes place. And we are talking here about the National Alliance for Life conference, which happens on the Saturday, the 1st of October, and the March for Life, which takes place in Mshlanga every year on the 2nd of October this year, which is the first Sunday in October. Now, I know that it's not the norm in most of our churches. And if I had to pose a question to those that tune into Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM, the station that brings you hope, and are listening right now to live stream today for this week, for this week's Dose of Life, when was the last time you heard your pastor preach about these issues or even asked him? Because I think that's the problem most of the time as well. We don't ask our pastors to highlight certain issues. So it's not always the pastor's responsibility to remember these things, but as a congregation, we should remind our pastors. But if we ask, when was the last time you heard your pastor preach about these issues and directly address the abortion crisis or the crisis in our country regarding teenage pregnancy, young mothers, and the options that they have when they're in crisis? Who do they run to? Do they run to the church? Do they run away from the church? Do they run to their parents, away from their parents? Do they run straight to the clinic to get an abortion because they want to keep it hush-hush and have been brought up to not speak about these things? It can be a lot. Now, we encourage churches and pastors to take up the mantle, especially this time of year, and speak about pro-life or sanctity of life issues. And that is why I thought we would just discuss this briefly, and I just want to go through a few things. Because there are fears that keep pastors from preaching about abortion as well. You often hear parents saying that, especially in these times, and even extends to the whole craziness that is taking over the world, where whatever feels right to you is okay and you can do it as long as you are not hurting anyone else and you are basically free to do what you want if it feels good for you. And you often have parents saying, I never wanted to tell my children what to believe. I wanted to give them the freedom to choose. And you can add to that, it should be up to the child to decide what it wants to do or what it wants to be. My simple question is this, why not? I mean, why are we not telling our children exactly how to live and who they are and what they can become from a biblical point of view? I mean, everyone else is trying to tell our children what to believe. Why wouldn't we want to tell our children what to believe, especially as Christians and knowing what the Bible says about training our children up? We have television and the advertising that goes on there. We can take that through to teachers, peers, news media, social media. Children are constantly bombarded with messages about what to believe. And unfortunately, this is often the subconscious approach many church leaders take about the issue of abortion and the church. It is just swept under the rug. For varying reasons, pastors don't speak about these things, what to believe on this vital issue of justice, equality, and the glory of God regarding the abortion issue specifically. The reality is that everyone is trying to tell God's people what to do and what to believe about this issue, except for us telling ourselves what to believe about this issue. Why shouldn't those who are charged by God to instruct his people in the scriptures be instructing them with the truth? Now, I'm not laying the blame with the pastors here, but it's a societal thing. We've grown up in a society where we sort of don't speak about certain things, and that is filtered into the church. And we know that what is often preached from the pulpit is how the congregation basically lives out their Christian lives. The preaching of God's word in a church dictates how the people will view the scriptures and its teaching. That's why it's so important to have something extra like a Bible study where you can go thoroughly into the word of God and expound on it more than what we hear on a Sunday. I mean, I've seen this dynamic play out over and over again. This realization is a heavy weight for any pastor to bear, deciding on what to preach on and what not to preach on, and even how to preach on it can be a very, very daunting task. And over the last few years, I've had many conversations with pastors about preaching on the sanctity of human life and abortion. And I've found that pastors, I want to use the word unwilling to engage the issue, but it's not really that they're unwilling. It's sometimes that they are ill-equipped or don't figure. It's often separated from scripture, abortion, which is really, really crazy because it really is about sanctity of life. It's not about being pro-life or being pro-abortion or against abortion. It's about, as a Christian, understanding what that sanctity of life dynamic and principle means and what we are supposed to be doing to uphold it. So, I mean, sometimes it can be fear driving the pastor's decision, just like fear drives us. Pastors are humans, after all. And the result is that these pastors will abandon their congregations on this issue, leaving the narrative to be written by the world, which, again, is exactly what the world wants, and it is sad. I've spoken at hundreds of churches on pro-life issues. Less than 10 of them have given up their Sunday mornings for these discussions to take place. But what normally happens is that there'll be a meeting organized during the week, normally a midweek weeknight meeting, and it's often advertised for those that want to come and hear more about pro-life issues or about the abortion topic, you can come to this meeting. And what happens is you normally have about 10% of the congregation there, and those that need to hear about the issues are not there. And that brings me to what we want to discuss today, because we have a brotherhood of pro-life pastors or pastors that uphold sanctity of life principles here in Durban. And let me tell you something, we are very blessed in our communities to have a forum like the Verulam Ministers Forum. And we can even go as far as say as the Verulam Youth Forum, because they uphold sanctity of life principles. It is part of their church's yearly schedule to attend the March for Lives, and they have various community-based projects that tackle these issues from the point of view of being there and providing things for the mothers and the families that are in crisis, that are needing support. It's not, the focus is not on abortion. It's about the societal issues that lead to the act. If we can combat that and be community-based churches and make ourselves available to the community so they can run to the church for help instead of running to the clinics and to the social workers, that's the way it should be. So I just want to speak briefly from my heart about a few fears that pastors have, so that the people listening who are not pastors can understand what goes on in a pastor's mindset when he is trying to speak and get a message and a word from God, and then through the Holy Spirit who guides him. And like I say, the Holy Spirit is the glue that glues everything together. Otherwise, it's just bits and pieces. It is very difficult for them sometimes. And so let me show you or try and explain some of the things that goes through a pastor's mind. And here are some of them. One of the big ones, especially in today's modern society: my congregation will think that I'm being too political. And this is obviously shocking, but it's the truth, because you have to be so careful about what you say from the pulpit nowadays. You don't know whether you're going to be sued or go to jail for hate speech or anything like that. So I can understand why pastors will be scared of being too political. If your church believes this is a primary political issue, then we've got to sort of backtrack a bit and say, wait, let's correct that right now. And unfortunately, these are societal issues, community issues, family issues, not political issues. Politicians make them political issues to get votes, guys. These issues, we need to take ownership of them as communities and as individuals. Rock-solid, biblical-based preachers will convince themselves that because this issue has a political outworking and happens to be one of the most divisive issues in our culture as well, this discussion does not belong in the church. Yet, this issue is a clear biblical concern of ultimate importance because of the value that God places on all human life. So what's at stake here? The truth about the glory of God displayed in the lives of his image bearers. Because we all intrinsically bear the image of God from the moment he created us, from Genesis 1:27 through to in chapter 2 when he forms us out of the mud and he breathes life into us. That is the intrinsic image of God that is indelibly imprinted on every single person, regardless of whether they've chosen him or not. They have the watermark of the Creator inside them. Another one that pastors, because everything nowadays, if you watch social media, if you're listening to news, especially international news, everything is about the right and the left. There's no middle ground. You are either a right-wing conservative or you are a left-wing liberal, and you are fighting tooth and nail with each other. We live in a culture that embraces a philosophical pluralism, let's put it that way, in which tolerance is supposed to be the highest virtue, where we tolerate each other. But if you look at society, there's actually no tolerance. If you are against a certain movement, you are then looked at as the enemy. There's no middle ground. We will trample on your rights in order to promote our rights. That's the basic premise of the world today. And the issue of abortion instantly conjures up images, because back in the day, we know we had these eccentric pro-lifers who used to shout, "You are going to hell, you are going to burn for being a murderer," to all these mothers who are in crisis and showing up placards with dismembered babies. Guys, let me just tell you something right now. That is not being winsome in your ways of portraying the gospel message, because we've got to remember that the underlying principle here, even though we're speaking about sanctity of life issues and abortion, is the souls of the people involved. Saving the baby from abortion so that it lives its life, does not choose Jesus and then goes to hell, means nothing. If we stop that lady from having an abortion, but she doesn't understand who Jesus is as her personal Lord and Savior, ultimately we are banishing her to an eternal damnation. So we need to understand that the underlying message has to always be the gospel. No group in our society has consistently been as stereotyped by media outlets as more intolerant than the crazy right-wing conservatives than our churches. And to associate with this group can be virtually akin to wearing a scarlet letter like they did back in the day, particularly within the urban contexts that tend to be really liberal. It is extreme liberalism. Now, subsequently, unfortunately, many young pastors fear being thought of as out of touch or extreme if they address these topics. They convince themselves that it's better not to address abortion at all, so it won't be in the way of really preaching the gospel. However, the gospel should be the underlying message when we are speaking to people in crisis about these issues.
I'm pro-life, that's why I stand for life.
I will speak for those who cannot speak for themselves.
Abortion is murder, that's why adoption is a better option.
I will speak for those who can't speak for themselves.
Adoption is a better option.
I speak for those that cannot speak for themselves.
I stand for life.
Adoption is the better option.
Me, I choose life.
As citizens of God's kingdom, we preach the truth, regardless of whether it sounds right or left. Because let's get one thing straight, guys. The Bible is not conservative. The Bible is not liberal. You could say it's both, but the Bible is God-centric. And in God's character and nature, if we read the book of any book in the Bible, and especially the books relating to how we should act and the law and our character, portraying Christ as the image that people see, we have to understand that that has to be the be-all and end-all of everything. It has to come back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when pastors say that they feel inadequate to address the issue of abortion, then I take it upon myself and say, well, then who is supplying them with the content and the tools necessary in order to have programs in their churches that teach about this? I mean, being a pastor of a church alone will stretch anyone. That is why it is such a calling to be a pastor. It is not something that's easy. Being a pastor of a church will stretch you. The demands are high, and the time a pastor has for study is usually very limited, believe it or not. Well-meaning pastors often fear they aren't well-versed enough in the issue of abortion. That's why I like to say, let's take it back to sanctity of life, because most pastors can speak about sanctity of life, no problem, because it is a biblical-based precept. Now, this may be the case, but it doesn't have to stay that way. There are resources and organizations available to help churches and especially pastors to become sufficiently equipped to address this issue with truth and compassion, if you will avail yourself to them. And in KZN and South Africa, you can join the National Alliance for Life. It is an umbrella organization where all churches and pastors and anyone who calls himself pro-life can come and be a part of. We don't turn anyone away because, like we said, if you're a non-believer and you hang around with us long enough, you will become a believer. So we make resources available. We make speakers available. And we are now creating programs for churches that will help them to become resource centers and their local community centers when it comes to crisis situations with young mothers, families that are broken, poverty, and everything else. They can be there and run to the church instead of running to the world. We need to resist the tendency to shy away from this issue, because it might require us to maybe study a bit of the scriptures so it's too difficult, and to face the reality of what abortion is and does to a woman and the men and the immediate group of people around them. It is definitely easier to stick your head in the sand, which I did for many years. But keep in mind that in so doing, you may also forego the remarkable opportunity, as I speak about opportunities all the time on the show, on live stream, to see God heal, to see God restore, to see him correct his people and bring those who don't know him into the fold. You see, this is what discipleship is all about. And we are so big on discipleship these days because there is a lack of true discipleship in the church, a lack of it. As I always say, the underlying message here has to be the gospel.
I think abortion is basically like you taking someone else's life, because as soon as the baby is conceived, the baby starts growing, so eventually you're killing someone's life. And I don't think I would consider it myself, because if you look at it, they could have been growing up, becoming a doctor, becoming a lawyer or something, and now you're taking that opportunity away from them. Personally, I think it depends on the person as well, because like even though the law also makes the like provision for a lot of people, say for instance, like they don't have have the needs to care for the child, so then they would go for abortion. So I think it's based on someone's personal opinion. But my personal opinion, it is you would be taking someone else's life.
Sommige mense voel net dit was onbeplande seks wat hulle gehad het en benodig dit om abortie te doen because miskien weet hulle nie wie die pa is van die kind nie en hulle kan miskien nie 'n kind opbring nie maar hulle dink aan die gedagte dat hulle die kind kan vir iemand anders gee en die kind kan iets groots bekom in die wêreld maar abortie is eintlik 'n sonde want is iemand se lewe wat jy vat en tweedens om abortie te doen is net nie reg in die oë wat soos volgens die Bybel dit beskryf want dit is iemand se lewe wat jy van hom wegvat.
I don't support it. I think it's wrong to take a life. God put that life there, so you take it away. You don't have that right. In terms of health, I did life sciences at school. You know, some people say it's a cell, and no, it's okay to take it out when it's still a cell during the early stages of pregnancy, but I just see it as a life.
I don't necessarily believe in it, but when it comes to cases like rape and unplanned, then I would deem it as acceptable.
My opinion on abortion would be, for starters, I would say obviously I don't back it in the sense of that obviously it is killing off an innocent child. And just to think of as an example, imagine that all the leaders that has done positive in the international environment, imagine when they were conceived and their parents decided that they want to abort them. Then what would have happened of that great leader? So in my opinion is that each and every person is obviously born with a gift, a talent, and a very strong potential. So I would say then that if that child is then aborted, then that potential is lost. So with that said, would I would like to be aborted if I was in that case? Obviously that would be a no. So I would take it as this. I was in that place, would I want to do it to the next person, child or that? So that would obviously be a no. So that's just my take on abortion.
Yeah, person I could write. Ngoba uphakathi kokuphila nokusweleka and futhi ayikho right for abantwana abancinci bakhuphe izusu kufanele umntana amgcine umntana wakhe ungakhuphi isusu ngoba ungasweleka kanye izinkokheli zangomso ezi wena uzibulalayo kufanele sakhe isizwe sethu sizogcwala ngabantu.
It's something that is wrong in our country. We're not allowed that thing, you know, that because that's why there are doctors, there are professional people who can help people. There are institutions, kind of girls what can go and deliver their babies. So in the eyes of God also, you know, I think it's the wrong thing that abortion should be allowed in any country.
I mean, here's another one. I'm already overwhelmed, and I know if I preach on the issue of abortion, it'll open up the floodgates of hurt and bondage, and I won't be able to handle the fallout of the sermon. This is a quote from a pastor. Now, whenever I've spoken on the issue of abortion, I've had people come and tell me they had an abortion or had been affected by abortion in some shape or form. Their stories are always heartbreaking. There is much healing and work that needs to be done after speaking about these issues. Shining the light, as in speaking about the issues, is just really scratching the surface. It is only the beginning. Pastors intuitively know this and are acutely aware of the potential depth of impact of preaching on abortion and what it'll have on their congregations. So we need to address societal issues and have the community-based projects running from our churches in order to adequately deal with the issues that we are dealing with. To pastors, I would encourage you to trust in the sustaining grace of our great Lord and Savior. Do not suppress the conviction of the Spirit to preach on these issues. It is often in our times of greatest need that the Lord's provisional glory is seen most clearly when we decide to step out of our comfort zones and say the things we don't normally say, even as pastors and even more so as the sheep, as the congregation. We can always pray that the Lord would send us the people to come alongside us and to help us develop relationships with our local pro-life groups. As I said earlier, we have meetings and workshops, and we have our NRL meetings every month that happen in Gateway Church, 201 Golf Course Drive in Mount Edgecombe, the last Tuesday of every month, or go to the nrl.org.za website to see more details. We have plans in place to help everyone. Do some preparation, and we'll help with this. Have a plan as to how you will minister to the women and the men affected by this issue. Trust God for the outcome, but then also have the programs in place to basically support them through their tough times. Another one that pastors say often, and it's another quote, "I'm afraid I will alienate and drive away the women who have had abortions," which is very true. You need to know exactly how to speak about the topic. But here's the thing, silence on this very issue communicates that it is an issue not to be discussed because it's either too shameful or too difficult to address. That is why our young girls, even in churches who fall pregnant, because we all sin, end up going to the abortion clinics and having abortions and not talking about it for 30 or 40 years because they're scared to bring it up in the church. Look, some fears are good, provided that they don't paralyze us. But the fear of being hit by a car, that prevents us from running into the street without looking. This is good. But there are times when we must cross the street to get where we need to go. Now, if this is the case, what do you do? Well, obviously, you don't stay on the one side of the street forever trying to figure it out. You go to the crosswalk where you have a designated crossing area. We look both directions and we cross safely. How do we know this? Someone taught us how to do that correctly. Am I right? The fear of not wanting to hurt someone in your congregation is a good fear. This fear can cause you to pause, to think, and to proceed cautiously with the people's hearts that you have in their hands. But if this fear keeps you from ever preaching on the issue or speaking about it as we do in our daily lives, your inaction will actually hurt those in your church more and those around you who need to hear the hope of the gospel applied to a major issue in their lives. James 4:17 says this, and this is best for Christians. And the thing is, we often overlook the scripture because it's once you read it, you are stuck. Like me, the first time I read the scripture and understood the context, it killed me, which is exactly what we need. Less of us, more of him. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin to them. How many of us ask God to forgive us for the things we didn't do? And I'll leave it at that. Statistical research constantly reveals that the issue of abortion has massively affected people in our churches. That is no lie. We have people going and having abortions and that have had abortions that are sitting in church and are too scared to even get counseling about it and to heal their broken souls and hearts. Because they are scared that it'll bring them shame, condemnation, and bondage. We need to be winsome in our ways. We need to speak to people and preach in such a way that you're inviting people who have been affected by abortion and by these societal issues that lead to all of the crises in our young mothers, teenagers, and families' lives. Then, by God's grace, we can pray not only for them to experience the forgiveness of Christ, but also have his freedom and healing. And let me end off the show, because we are coming to the end of the show, with a few last words of encouragement. And this comes from my heart. As I've said before, God knows you more than we will ever understand this side of eternity. God knows you. He knew everything about you. He knew you before you were formed in the womb. He knows the plans and purposes that he has set out for you. He knows everything about you 2,000 years ago when he showed us just how much he loves us by sending his only begotten son, his most loved and cherished son, to die so that you may choose life and a life that extends beyond what we know to understand his saving grace and his love. Jesus loves each and every one of you out there listening to this program. No matter how far away from him you are, Jesus loves you regardless of any circumstance that you might be in. Situations that seem out of control are under his control. Stand strong in the love and assured victory of an unchanging God, the Creator, our Father, who made the heavens and the earth by just speaking, who knows every hair on your head and calls to you by name. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I pray that you are encouraged by this episode with just me speaking from my heart for a change. No guests this time, because we are coming up to the March for Life in the first weekend in October and the National Alliance for Life conference. And for all of those in the Durban area, I recommend that you encourage your pastors, if they don't know about it, to get to know about it, to join us in this walk and stand for life so that we may shine a light on the gospel message that Christ died so that we may live. We accepted Jesus. Now our task is to go out into all the world and make disciples, because he has given us all the authority, and we know the promise that he will be coming back one day for all of those who call out on his name. This is Vaughan on Livestream, your weekly dose of life, only on Good News Community Radio, the station that brings you hope, every Monday, 4:30 to 5, saying until we meet again over the airwaves, goodbye and God bless.
Oh, I don't believe in accidents. Miracles, they don't just happen.